There it is. Mustard Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, early Monday morning homeroom. Yeah, you guys, everybody knows right now, you guys don't record this early Monday mornings. Well, but it's still homeroom, and this is when you're getting it. It's Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slicker, your educated educators talking education. And Johnny, I'm going to set this up, and then I'm going to ask you a question. We've been hearing a lot about cell phone bans occurring, and actually a lot of people going, wow, they like it. Kids included are pointing out how like this is a great thing. And
yeah, I was shocked to hear it right out of the mouths of youth. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, holy crap, who knew that the kids actually wanted to have opportunities to be kids again? So we agreed. And Tim, in fact, go ahead, John.
Well, you were saying in our Saturday broadcast, you brought up David Bowie and you brought up changes and you brought up some lines. And one of the lines was, I believe they're quite aware of what they're going through.
They're quite aware of what
these young people, right? Yeah. So like, again, of course, we are shocked when they're like, hey, actually, we kind of like this break from our phones and this time talking to each other. And, you know, just they're aware of how draining and distracting screen time is to them, and valuing social interaction as they should be, especially teens and preteens. It's a huge part of their identity and development. So it makes sense, of course. Listen to the kids.
Are you ready to go a step further? Because coming out of Denmark last week,
there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
I got nothing but love when it comes to education and the Scandinavian countries. I mean, Denmark, it's, you know, they've got a school out there where they take four-year-olds out in the woods and give them hatchets and stuff and let them just cut down stuff. I love that.
Four kindergartens. Yeah.
But, you know, they are, Johnny, proposing mandatory age restrictions, age 15, before you can have access to any social media, a outright age ban. I'm going to point out that I know all of the holes. However, I'm fully into it. I think it's awesome. I see it as another step in a direction that says, had we really known the effects of social media and what they were going to have on our kids, we would have never let this loose in the wild to begin with. And I hear people saying, well, you can't pull it back in. You can. If we know the harm it's causing and we know the real harm it's causing, then yes. In fact, we have a responsibility to act in, ways for the kids to actually shield them from things that are harmful. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, social media can be pretty harmful no matter what age. It can really suck you into an isolated state. It can depress the heck out of you. You end up doom scrolling, as they call it. You know, what benefits are there with social media, and particularly, you know, up until the age of 15? So, Johnny, is this a policy worth replicating here in the United States of America?
Well, I think it's certainly one worth paying close attention to, Tim, right? When experts, you know, doing the research are saying things to us like, hey, we make a recommendation that you create some policies to protect children's well-being. Mm-hmm. We should all listen, right? So I think this is a precedent-setting, you know, move by Denmark. And I like it. I mean, I don't think it necessarily means banning it, right? But certainly requiring companies to take reasonable steps to prevent underage usage, right? And citing studies that have linked, young people just excessively using social media and it having an impact on their well-being through anxiety and depression specifically. So, you know, we have an epidemic of young people experiencing anxiety and linked to depression. And that could be a really dangerous thing for, like, you know, we us old timers, we could sit back and say, let the young people be young. Right. But it's also our responsibility to pay close attention to this kind of research and says, yeah, well, let them be young. And also we should probably be as responsible as we can with what they have access to. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if we know that like this increased anxiety and depression is dangerous to them and to their development and to the growth of our society. Yeah, that's a thing, like our social responsibility. Right. Then maybe we should have some, you know, some guardrails in place. Mm. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of censorship. You know, this is like reminds me a little bit of like the Tipper Gore era we grew up in. Put a sticker on the CD and it just made us want to go and buy it more.
Yeah.
You know, but the whole thing here being, you know, I think there's real value to this in the context of saying, hey, we have young people that are really suffering.
Yeah.
And that if we can better understand how to alleviate that suffering for them, and it's again, I say it all the time, an investment on all our futures, you know, maybe we should do that. Maybe it shouldn't just be unmitigated access to all kinds of social media. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to be hard, Tim, because it's a lot of grown folks too who are pretty, you know, enslaved to social media, right? And you've talked about, you know, psychologically the addicted to it.
Yeah.
Right? There's a real dopium hit and there's a real way that, you know, like you've talked about being in the algorithm or scrolling or tapping on things and clicking, you know, can really pull you into, as you say, an isolated place, but it can also be a sense of distorted community. Mm. Right. And so this makes a lot of sense to me. Implementation, I'm always excited to learn. Mm-hmm. Right. And so keeping an open mind and seeing like, okay, how does this pan out? How does this play out in Denmark or in other places where it's being, you know, put to practice?
I'm going to give you one of those, but Jacob, chairman of the board, what do you think, my friend?
Tim, I've got one word and, frankly, it's enraged. I'm enraged.
Were you on social media right now while we were talking?
I was looking at the Twitter feed, and I'm just very upset. Tim, let me ask you a question. How much is a smartphone?
General. Hey, I got to tell you, they're very cheap because my father has one.
That's your big indicator?
That's look, the iPhones and people are like, but actually, you know, a smartphone with internet access, social media, $100, you know, actually cheap. I know people are like, well, my iPhone cost. I know your iPhone did. But if you're like my dad and you go to T-Mobile and claim the senior discount and say you don't care about all that, you just, you know, I think my dad would rather just have a flip phone. but he has a smartphone, and I think the rent on his smartphone is like 25 cents a month.
But we can agree the answer is money, right? Mm. It costs some amount of money.
Okay.
Money, 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 money.
Of which I don't think your 12-year-old has any.
Ah.
So, Mr. Parent out there, instead of saying, oh, Lord, won't the government step in to stop me from spending my money on buying this social media device for my 8-year-old? How about don't do that? That's a bad idea. Don't buy your little child a smartphone, because we've seen rules like this recently in the United Kingdom, and it's becoming more popular in the EU, saying if you want to use any internet website, you need to put a photo ID in. If you want to go on YouTube, you got to scan your photo ID to YouTube. You have to give Google and the Meta Corporation and Alphabet Corporation your photo ID to watch your pimple popper videos on YouTube now. And maybe I don't want to have my face associated with Dr. Pimple Popper. I enjoyed my I'm an adult. I want to see pimples popped, and I want to be left alone on my YouTube. But think of the children. I'm sorry. We need to take your privacy on the internet away. So I think number one responsibility for no Facebook, Timmy, is mom and dad.
Wow.
That's me.
But I need it for school.
Yeah, but I need it for school.
Wow.
Or if you want to have a regulation, 15. If you want to have a regulation, say don't require kids to need it for school.
There you go.
How about that?
Man, sounding like a wow.
Well, Tim, I think government is the problem.
I didn't peg you to be one of them people, Jacob.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I like it though. I like what Jacob's saying here. Yeah, like, let's call it out here. You know, it's
device accessibility is the problem, and not access. The fact that anybody can get access with the device. We would limit the devices then.
Let's get dumb phones for our kids. You can call me and say, pick me up from school, Dad. School got canceled. But you can't go on these toxic social medias, which I agree. These are bad for kids. But I don't think the solution is to do some of these things where I think the solutions will be quite onerous for the general population.
This sets up a great classes in session for Wednesday, because Jacob, what you're talking about, actually there's research out, and I think we should cover this. Gen Z, there's a whole movement to get rid of smartphones, and in fact the market now is delivering a phone.
yeah this is very real. We could get into it. I have two children, and they're quite active on different social networks, and one of them's younger and doesn't do the social media stuff quite yet. I mean, I think as parents, like Jacob's suggesting, we've sort of set some boundaries around when that's more socially and developmentally appropriate, but it's increasing in popularity in 2026 amongst the youngins is, can we get a landline? My friends are getting telephones so we could call each other. And there's and my younger daughter explaining, there's this like throwback phone that you could just call your friends on and talk to them. And it's funny as a parent, if you're an older listener out there, like Tim and I, where you're chuckling, we're like, this is funny that my kid is explaining an everyday technology of my youth. But it is, I like Jacob's suggesting here. Like, I like him pointing the finger and saying, okay, grownups, like, take some ownership of this. And there certainly are ways that kids can connect and build, conversations, connections, and communities through technology that are less potentially destructive as social media is. And I know it just sound like some tech haters here, but I think this is a great question. I think this is a worthwhile topic of further exploration. Speaking of technology, Tim is muted.
Tim's still learning this tech.
And so on Wednesday then,
on Wednesday, we shall call each other.
We shall call each other. It is the movement. And,
we shall use the thing called the telephone.
I was doing some research, and so people are calling it the dumb phone movement. There is a movement afoot where people are going after dumb phones, and it's being led by the youngins. Wow.
By the youths.
We got to talk more about that. Have a little classes in session on Wednesday. Homeroom, guys. Love it. But now it's time for your moment of zen. If those in charge of our society, politicians, corporate executives, and owners of press and television can dominate our ideas, they will be secure in their power. They will not need soldiers patrolling the streets. We will control ourselves.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom Podcast today. And remember, you can grab other great podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare miss class in session on Wednesday. And you always find our special drop of producer's choice on Friday. And of course, catch Busted Pencils broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.